Just a reminder, we do know how hard you're working as parents. We are aware of that. So we are glad you're here. We are glad those kiddos are here. The kids are with me. If you have issue, come see me afterward. Talk about good friends today. And man, if there is a day we need good friends, it's today. It is this day, this day and age. We need good friends. Kids need friends. We need good friends. And it's just a different day. It's a day of technology. It's a day of different things. A day of Facebook. Day of cell phones. Day of all this. Friends, 1,000 friends on Facebook. We need good personal friends, good friends, face-to-face friends, friends that are there for us when we bury the patriarch of the family or when we have cancer. We need people there looking us in the face, and we need to be good friends, at least according to God, what God would say are good friends. I'm going to begin with the story of Job. That's not where we're going, but I want to begin with that story because, as you know, he had friends. Many of you, we pray for each other. Many of you have prayed for me that God will put a hedge of protection around me. And I've prayed that for you. I've prayed that for my kids. I pray that for family members. And you pray at night, Lord, put a hedge of protection around them. They're in this situation, or it's so difficult, or just in general, these are my grown kids, my teenage kids are going to school. Lord, put a hedge of protection around them. Oh, Lord, care for them. And I realized that that came right out of Job. I mean, that's right here in Job chapter 1, verse 10. Satan came to God, and he said, God said, where have you been? He said, I've been roaming the earth. And God said, have you thought about my servant Job? He's like a good man. And Satan said, yeah, well, he's good, all right. Well, listen to what he says. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for no reason? Have you not put a hedge around him and his house and all that he has on every side? You've blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. Well, yeah, you've blessed him. Well, yeah, he serves you. You've put this hedge of protection around him, and it's awesome. And who wouldn't love to live in that hedge? Who wouldn't love to live inside your protective little thing? You take that hedge away or reshape it or change it, I'll bet you Job will run from you like the plague. That's what he said. And so God took that hedge and he shrunk it. He said, tell you what I'm going to do. You test him. Go ahead and do whatever you want to do to anything he has, to his family, his kids, his stuff. Just don't hurt him. He took that hedge and he shrunk it and he said, there you go. And I'll be darned if Satan didn't go ahead and took all his stuff. All his stuff. His kids took it all. And there was Job. You talk about mourning. You talk about sadness. And he didn't curse God. And so Satan came back a second time. And he says, well, yeah, but you let me get a hold of Job himself. And I'll bet he will curse you. And he shrunk that hedge again. Go ahead. Do whatever you want to him. Don't take his life. Do whatever you want to him. But don't take his life. That hedge is getting really small about now. And the only thing left is you're alive. And some of us get to a point we don't even wish that. And if I was in Job's shoes, I wouldn't even wish that. And Job did curse the day he died. The day he was born, he cursed him. He said, man, I wish I was never born. This was a bad day. But he never cursed God. In pain that I can't describe to you, in hardship that I can't even imagine, in difficulty, hurtful, emotional, practical, physical pain, and that's how pain comes to us, isn't it? It's our emotions. Man, we are so crushed emotionally. The people we love. Practically, he lost all his wealth, all his possessions, financially, and now physically. He was in pain in every single way, but he was still alive. He was still alive. He wouldn't curse God. And he had three friends that show up, and there was actually a fourth young friend, and I think there were probably others who are like some of us sometimes when we look at people in this much pain and we just go, look, I'm not worth much here. I don't have much to say here. I'd make it worse. I'm just going to kind of stand back here. Call me if you need me. But he had three and the fourth young friend who would later speak up. But he had three friends that came in and actually, they were off target, right? I mean, they didn't understand it all. They tried. They gave it their best shot. I mean, they were speaking to Job. They were trying to help him fix this problem. It's like, Job, you've sinned. You have messed with God. Job, I don't know what you did, but you did something. Because God doesn't act this way to people. God isn't this mean to people. You did something. You need to repent. I don't know what it is, but Job, good people don't get treated this way from God. And they tried. Three times they took their turn speaking to Job. And they were wrong. They were just wrong. They were trying, but they were wrong. And then it says that the younger friend, the young one who had been sitting there watching, he is finally bursting to talk, it says. I mean, it's just like, oh, shut up, hurry up, are you done yet? And he starts talking. His name's Elihu. And the funny thing is about this story is that when it's all done, the three friends have to apologize to Job. When it's all done, God tells these three friends, now you go and present an offering to Job because you were dead wrong. What he did was, that was a mega apology, is what it was. Job was the priest. He was a priest, and they went to Job. So now the guy they've just been thinking they're trying to help, they're actually in reverse now. They're offering for their sin and their mistakes, and they were wrong. And he says, now you go and make an offering. You apologize to him. You make it right with him and with me. And that's what he did. They went and they made an offering. I'm sorry, I was wrong. Elihu was never corrected. I don't know if you've ever seen that in the story, but Elihu was never corrected by God. He was never told that he was wrong. And Elihu ended his kind of diatribe to God by talking about the Creator God. Well, God created this and God created this, and Job, you just don't understand. And God picked up on that conversation. God just finished. When God spoke, he just picked up where Elihu left off, and he just went, Job, you have no idea what your Creator's doing here. So Elihu was never corrected, never told he was wrong. He wasn't perfect. He wasn't spot on with everything he said. But he was pretty close. There was a lot of wisdom in what this young man finally got to say to Job. We'll maybe read a little bit of that a little bit later. But there are three friends that totally bungled it and had to come back and apologize, but they were engaged, and there was a fourth, a younger one, who had to wait But he had some sense. He had some good wisdom. We're going to talk about that. I want us, number one, to be good friends. I want us not to be afraid, not to run from people in our community, people around us. I want us to be able to engage and help. I want us to be able to go to them and speak to them and be actually somewhat of a help to them. It's a coward that says, man, I don't know what to do. I'm too clumsy. I can't speak. I'm staying home. I don't know. You go. I don't want to go. I mean, that's just saying I have nothing to offer. I'm dumb. And what it is basically people that just don't want to take the time and the trouble to help. That's lame, man. That's lame. I want us to be able to go to people and be good friends, to stand beside them, to help them, to speak to them, to know something, to be able to hold each other up. Because I'm just going to be honest with you, Dave's not the last one that's going to pass away that we know, and that you know in your family, you know at work, that you know at school. Dave's not the last. And Wes is not the last who's going to face that enemy cancer. He's not the last. It's going to happen. It's part of life. It's part of reality. And as God's servant, as His body, we need to be able to step in and speak something positive for God in the community. We need to be able to teach these young kids how to do it, how to speak, how to be a friend, how to really help. It's a day and age where friends on Facebook come by the thousands. But, I mean, the cool thing about friends on Facebook is, like, if you're having a conversation with somebody on Facebook and they start chipping away at you, you just go click, right? I mean, you hide them or you click or you just cover them, you walk away. Now, how would you like to be having coffee with somebody and you start to speak into their life and they all of a sudden click a button and you disappear? Poof. Oh, yeah, thanks for that. Poof. You're out of here. I mean, come on. That's not real life, is it? And over, we are told to be real, true, good friends. People hide behind Facebook. They get bold and nasty behind Facebook. But to your face, they become little sissies. They have nothing good to offer you and maybe deserve to be. We got to do better than that. We of the household and community of faith have to do better than that. We do have something to offer. And that's what I want to talk about today. And I'm going to go back to our wisdom book, that book of Proverbs, and just pluck from it a few good verses that can help us be good friends. I'm going to begin in Proverbs 27, verse 9 and 10. Proverbs 27, verse 9 and 10. If you want to be a good friend, here's some verses for you. Here's where we'll start. Oil and perfume make the heart glad, and the sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel. The sweetness of a friend actually does come from his earnest counsel. Verse 10 is the amazing part of this. Do not forsake your friend and your father's friend, and do not go to your brother's house in the day of your calamity. Better is a neighbor who is near than a brother who is far away. You have a friend, I hope, and you are a friend, I hope, who your friends rely on and can go to for earnest counsel. For earnest counsel. And the admonition is Don't turn your back on this friend who will counsel you earnestly, honestly, sincerely, straight up. And I love this because this is what we do. The first thing we do when we're really hurting like Job, we go to family. We go to family. And we will drive across the state to our family when there should be a friend really near that can help us. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24 says, There is a friend, who will stand with you who is closer than a brother. There's a friend who is closer than a brother. He will stand with you, and this friend is closer. This friend is more dedicated. This friend will speak to you earnest counsel. He'll speak into your life in a closer, more effective way than even your family can. Oh, they know you well. Oh, they love you well. But in God's design, there's a friend who is closer, more effective than your family, than a brother. That's pretty amazing. That's pretty hard for us to imagine in this day and age. But that's God's design. He wants us to have friends that can speak into our life without the family entanglement and lace. He wants a friend who will sit there and say, "Friend, I love you. This is how I see it." We need friends like that. We need our families. I'm not saying we don't need our family. But we need as many of those friends near as we can get. And we need to be that type of friend. Don't forsake this friend. You might not like exactly what he or she is saying, but don't you dare forsake this friend and run 90 miles to your family. I've put this friend there for you, God might say. And this friend is the one I want speaking to you. That's a tall order. That's a challenge right there. Unless you've lost, unless you've moved away from your family and all your family's up in Maine or Oregon or Texas and you ain't got anybody. You don't call them very often. Email them very often. You need a face-to-face friend who is worth more to you than silver or gold. That's what friendship looks like, and that's the value of friendship. There is a friendship more precious to us, more effective than even family. If you don't have that, you're missing something. You're missing something. And I want to cultivate that here. Another couple verses. It's right there, same passage. You don't got to go far. Proverbs 27, verse 5, 6, and 7. Proverbs 27, same chapter, just a few verses before. There's plenty in this chapter about friendship and speaking. Proverbs 27, verse 5. Better is open rebuke, that's open correction. Better is open correction than hidden love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, profuse are the kisses of an enemy. One who is full loathes honey, but to one who is hungry, everything bitter is sweet. Now, what's that say? Better is open rebuke than hidden honey. Open or hidden? Open rebuke, hidden love. Be involved is what it's saying. It is better that someone is involved in your life and will speak to you than someone who's not. Says, no, I'm not saying anything. I love them and I'm just going to come back over here to my house. I'm not going to be involved. No, I love, if they need, they know where I'm at. They'll call me. I'm here. Da-da-da. Hidden love. I love them, but I'm hidden. I love them, but I'm not engaged. You are no help. And at that point, open rebuke is better. It's what the Bible says. It is better. This person's there. They're engaged. You might not like what they're saying, but it's helpful. And if they screw up, they can apologize. But they're there. Be engaged. That's what it says. I like this next one. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. A friend is faithfully going to wound you. He's going to say something that's going to wound you. And he's a friend. And he's a faithful friend. The enemy is going to kiss you all over. Profusely. Kiss you up one side and down the other. Oh, a friend's going to tell you everything, how great you are, how wonderful you are, how they love you, how wonderful you don't deserve it. Oh, this is so amazing. You are so good. There is no way. I'm going to pat you on the back. I'm going to hug you. I'm going to kiss you. I mean, man, I'm just going to smother you in hugs and kisses right here. He's an enemy. He's an enemy. The faithful friend will speak the truth to you, even if it wounds you. That's faithful. That is a true friend. You keep your eye on that person who has nothing but hugs and kisses for you. You watch that person. Truth is much better than flattery. Proverbs has a whole lot to say about the person who's just flattering. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. He goes on with this little one who is full loathes honey. If you're full, honey doesn't even taste good. I love it when my grandkids have had so much candy, they go, no, I can't take no more. They've eaten so much Pop-Tarts and so much candy, and you say, here, you want another one? You want a cinnamon roll? No, I can't eat no more. Oh, I never thought I'd see the day they'd turn down something. But they're full. I mean, they've had enough. But it says, if you find someone who's hungry, even what tastes kind of bitter is sweet. I mean, you can only give so much flattery to someone. You can only give so much honey to someone. But if they're really hurting and they're really hungry and they're really in need, this is real hopeful for us. Even what you say, if it's a little bit bitter, it's going to satisfy. It's going to taste sweet, even if it's a little bitter. Even if it bites a little bit, even if it's a little sour, even if it wounds a little bit, they're really hungry, they're really hurting, they really need something from you. They'll find the good in it. It may be half right and half wrong, but they're going to cling to it. They're going to eat it. You get somebody hungry and hurting enough, man, they'll just cling to a faithful friend's words, even though they might be bitter. Nobody wants to make a meal out of honey. You'd try, but it only goes so far. Proverbs 25, verse 11 and 12 says, A word fitly spoken, like apples of gold in a setting of silver, and like a gold ring or an ornament of gold is a wise reprover to a listening ear. It may take a little work for us to grow, to develop, to become a wise reprover and a good godly friend. And I want to encourage you to do that. I want to encourage you to walk with the Lord, to study your Bible, to gain insight and wisdom, to be a wise reprover to a listening ear. If they're not listening, you don't have much to say. But if they're listening, if they're hungry and they need something, engage and be a wise reprover. It's like apples of gold in settings of silver. It's like a gold chain. It's beautiful. It's amazing. A word fitly spoken. What do you have? Let me ask you, what do you have? What do you have in your bag? Someone's really hurting. What do you have to offer? What's tools in your tool pouch, in your tool belt? What do you got? You're going to need a walk with the Lord. You're going to need to know some scriptures. You're going to need something to draw from to be a wise reprover. You're going to need some courage. Quite honestly, most people that won't reprove, that won't be this good friend, it's really just a matter of courage. They don't have the guts to stand up, even to a child, and say, look, this ain't going to happen. I'm not going to stand here and watch you do this. Don't have the guts to say it to a child, don't have guts to say it to a teenager, and won't have guts to say it to an adult looking you in the face. Look, I'm not going to watch you implode. Look, I'm not going to watch you hurt yourself. Look, I'm not going to watch you. We don't have the guts. We don't have the faith to stand by God's word and do what he told us to do. But a wise reprover to a listening ear, you're like gold on silver, man. You're like gold on silver. What do you got? What do you got? Young people, we need to look at this. We need to mark Elihu. I'm talking to you young kids. I'm talking to you young guys now. I'm going to read this part of this chapter, and I'm talking to you young folk. Listen to how you do it. If you want to speak, you want to speak. And let me tell you something. Listen. God will use you. God will use you. Your age is not a deterrent. God will use you. He will use you speaking to some of these adults. God will use you. All right? Your youth is not a problem. Your youth is not a problem. God uses you. He says in his word, man, what beautiful words come from the mouths of babes, of children. Listen to me. God will use you. You are valuable to God. Listen to what Elihu did. So these three men ceased to answer Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. Then Elihu, the son of Barachel of the family of Ram, he burned with anger. He burned with anger at Job because he justified himself rather than God. He burned with anger also at Job's three friends because they found no answer, although they declared to Job that he was wrong. That's what I'm challenging us with. He burned because he watched these three so-called wise men have nothing to offer Job. They just told him he was wrong, but they made no sense. Now Elihu had waited to speak to Job because they were older than he. And when Elihu saw there was no answer in the mouth of these three men, he burned with anger. And Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite, answered. And this is what he said. Now listen, sometimes you young kids, you watch us adults and you go, you guys are really lame and you are just pent up waiting for us to make sense. He did that. He understood that. And listen to what Elihu said. He waited until they were done talking, and he said, I am young in years, and you are aged. Therefore, I was timid and afraid to declare my opinion to you. I said, let days speak, and let many years teach wisdom. But it's the spirit in man, the breath of the Almighty, that makes him understand. It's not the old who are wise, nor the aged who understand what is right. Therefore, I say, listen to me, let me also declare my opinion. Behold, I waited for your words. I listened for your wise sayings. While you searched out what to say, I gave you my attention. And behold, there was none among you who refuted Job or answered his words. Beware lest you say, we have found wisdom. God may vanquish him, not a man. He has not directed his words against me, and I will not answer him with your speeches. You know what Elihu just said? He said, look, I have patiently sat here and listened. I have let you older folk go first. I've sat here quietly. I've sat here respectfully, and I've let you speak. I've put my place. I'm younger than you. I'm a kid. I'm younger, and I've let you talk. But now he says this, look, God gives wisdom, and he gives wisdom to young people. He gives wisdom to youth. It's not just because they're older that they are wiser. God gives wisdom, so God will use you. If you wait, wait for it, let them say their piece, and then say, look, will you listen to me now? Can I talk now? I've got something to say. I want to speak. Can I speak now? And then speak. They were very respectful. Very polite. Very patient. And it was this young man who had the wisdom. So often you young people, you're not heard or you get in trouble because you just go, blah, and you stomp off and you get all mad and you just, and nobody's going to listen to you that way. Sit, be respectful, wait, and then say, I've listened, but I'd like to give you my opinion. Will you listen to my opinion? And then talk. And God will use you. God will use you. It's not that you can't be wise. Woo! It's that we just handle it wrong. And you know what? Adults handle it wrong too. We get emotionally involved in situations and we just go, blah! And our emotions get the best and we just get angry, we just get loud, we just go crazy, we just, I've had enough! We handle it wrong too. And the lesson from Elihu is there's a right way to approach hurting people. It's very respectful. It's wait. Just wait. Wait for the right moment. Can I speak? Can I say something? Go for it. Go for it. It's an amazing book. It's amazing what it teaches us about how to be a good friend. Elihu, I think, was a good friend. Not perfect, neither are we. But I think he was a very good friend. So, let me draw this thing. Let me start to land this plane with a couple thoughts. Mark will put these are statements. He will put these up on the board. These are my closing conclusions to how to be a good friend. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 1 and 2 says this. If you're going to find a good friend, or if you're going to be a good friend, you're going to look for a good friend who's a person of the community. It's a person of the community. Proverbs 18, 1 and 2 says, whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. Proverbs 18, 1 and 2. Whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. You can't find a good friend who's not involved in the community. You're part of the community of faith. It says that a person who isolates himself, a person who just stays home, a person who just stays to themselves, a person who can't function in community with a whole handful, a whole basket full of friends, you can't function in community. You don't go to church because, well, they annoy me, and they annoy me, and they annoy me. You can't function with a whole bunch of friends. You don't have a lot of friends. You know why? Because they annoy you. You isolate yourself. You stay home. And do you know why? This is what the scripture says. He who isolates himself seeks his own desire, and he will speak out against all sound judgment. They stay home because they can't get along with people in community, and they just want what they want. They want life their way. Nobody's going to mess with me here. I get it my way. And when I want to express my opinion, that's what it says. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding. They just want to speak their opinion. So I'm going to stay home where life is dealt to me my way, where you can't annoy me. And when I want to speak out, I will give you my opinion. And I don't care about understanding the situation. This is what I think. That's not the friend you want. That's not the type of friend you want. The type of friend you want is a friend that can function in community, can function in a room full of people, can function with people that annoy you, can function with kids that are loud, can function with all the little bumps and bruises of a community, because that's how God wants it. That's why the first thing he did was put you in the community of people called the church. And most of our New Testament is written to New Testament local churches. You're here because this is the incubator. This is where we grow. This is where we hold each other up. This is where we bump and bruise each other. This is where it happens. It does happen. I'm not telling you it doesn't, and I'm not trying to create a place where nobody ever gets bumped and bruised. It does happen. That's part of God's wisdom of the process of you and I growing. Kids, listen to me. Don't ever get to a point where you say, oh, that somebody at church said something to me and offended me. I don't want to go to church anymore, Mommy. That's craziness right there. That is not growing. You can't function in community. You're an invalid. You're a social invalid, and you can't function in community. That's what you are. This is where we work it out. This is where we sit down and we talk and we sit across the table and we go, look, I know, I've heard your part. Can I give my opinion? We don't hit that button and poof, they vanish into thin air. This is where we work it out in God's way. You don't want a friend who can't function in a room full of people, who can't function in a community setting, who can't go to church anymore. I've seen some great people float through churches one after another, after another, after another. Finally, they don't go to church anywhere. You know why? Because none are good enough. They're a social invalid. They think they are so righteous. You know what they want? They want their own way. They want their own desire. And they'll speak out against all sound judgment, all biblically sound judgment, just to give their opinion. That's not a friend. That is not a biblical friend. The friend you want The friend God wants us to be here are friends in community. And rightfully so. He says, whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his mouth, he's deemed intelligent. It doesn't take a lot of words. It doesn't mean you're just always in everybody's stuff. And it means you've got a cool spirit. Shoot, even a fool looks smart if he shuts his mouth, if he doesn't say anything. But the friend you want can function well in community, in the community of faith. You don't want a friend who isolates himself. Number two, friends who offer. If you're looking for a friend or you want to be a friend, you're looking for a friend who offers more than honey and kisses. Read the book of Proverbs. More often than not, these friends speak the truth. If your friend, your best friend, is just like you, and your best friend, the best thing this friend has to offer you is, you're so loving. You're such a good person. You're my best friend. There's no way I'll fight for you no matter what. I'm with you. No way will you have to run over me with the truck because you are the best person I've ever known, ever. If that's what they've got to offer, you better add to that stable a few more good friends who will talk and let them talk to you. Let them say, man, I love you, but you know they're right. You know, I get why they were mad at you. I get why this, I mean, let me help you with this. But I love you and I'm going to help you. I'm going to walk with you, but that's how I see it too. You got to have friends that have more than honey and kisses. That describes your enemy. That's how he gets close. That's how Judas pointed out Jesus. He said, the guy I kiss is the guy you arrest and hang on that cross. Jesus knew all about those enemies. They were full of honey and kisses. It was one who hung him on a cross. You're looking for a good friend? Well, you're looking for a friend who can actually be more effective than family. You're looking for somebody outside your family, quite honestly. You're looking for one or two or as many as you can find, but they're not your family. They have the freedom to love you and to speak into your life in a way that family doesn't even have. You need those friends. Now, here's the great part, and this is my fourth and last point of this. You're looking for friends who may not understand exactly what you're going through. That's all of us. But they keep pointing you to God's presence, God's love, God's justice, and God's goodness. Come on, come on. Let's be real. Let's be real right here. If my marriage is struggling, if Terry and I have been fighting for years and years and years, and I come to you with my sad story, you go, oh man, I don't know how you've gone this long. Until you talk to her, and then she says the same story she has, and you go, oh man, I had no idea Pastor Terry was like, right? And when it's all done, you go, what? Ain't that true? Here's the truth. Whatever you're going through, the Peel family, Wes and Wendy, I don't understand. Walk a mile in their shoes. That's the only way they're going to understand. Walk a mile in this family. It's the only way you're going to understand. I don't understand. This was the beauty of Elihu. He didn't say too much about Job, but he kept pointing him to God and going, I don't know exactly where you're at, but this much I know about God. He's just, he's good, he is present, and he does love you. That was the beauty of Elihu. And you don't have to understand this family or this family or that family. Never been there. Never been through it. Don't know. But I could be a good friend. I'm going to keep pointing you to the God who's present, who loves you, who is fair and just, and who is good. Because that is the issue. That is the whole issue. Rewind. Rewind. Satan comes to God and says, I've been roaming. And God says, you considered Job? And Satan says, you let me get my hands on him and he will curse you. Out of here. The point is not pain. The point is that Satan wants us away from God and away from the community. He'll use anything to get you away. He'll use good times to get you away. The point is not pain. The point is I will make him run from you. I will make him stay away from church. I will make him run from the community of faith. I will make them say, I believe in God, but I ain't touching that church. I believe in God, but I'm not doing it his way. I don't believe the Bible. I believe in God, but I'm not. You cursed God. You've just said, forget it. You're a cartoon character living in heaven, but you have nothing to do with this life. Satan says, you let me have him, and I'll take him there. And your good friends say, come back. Stay close to God. He's present. He loves you. He is good. And he is faithful and fair and just. That's what your good friend has to offer. No, I don't understand your problems. No, I don't understand a female's mind. A female comes in and says, I tell you what, I said, let me get my wife. I don't understand how a female thinks. I barely understand how men think. But this much I know, God is present. He may have shrunk the hedge, and you may be getting beat, but he's still there. He still loves you. He is still fair, and he is still good, and his son still died for you and understands every bit of that shrunken hedge you're going through, and he wouldn't leave you for nothing. You stick with him. Till the skin falls off your body, you stick with him. He loves you. That much I know. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Create in us hearts of good friends. Build this community into good friends. We're not perfect. We have our issues. We hurt each other. Help us to heal and to mend and to speak and to grow. Help us be wise reprovers, faithful, loving friends. Lord, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Call out song? No? Yeah? No? I guess we'll call it good.
No, I got
you got a song? Okay.